Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting tonight. Thanks for being here. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Our President Rafter here, Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Well, President McKeown for. Is there anyone here tonight to speak on any of the agenda items? And which item is that?
Item 10.
Okay. And Murray?
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay. Why don't we move? There's
11.
A bit of a error. Why don't we move number 11? Up to number 5A. And we can move number 10 up to 5B. Is there any other changes? Proposed changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion to accept the agenda as modified. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. May 16th, coming very soon, is the History Treasure Tour. It's May 16th from 4 to 8 p.m. For those of you who aren't looking at your calendar, that's tomorrow. And that is, there are 14 locations throughout Brown County with historic interest that are hosting open houses basically from 4 to 8 p.m. Two of those properties are in Alloway. One is Heritage Hill State Historical Park. And the other is the Historic Alloway Society being held at the Riviera Bar and Grill. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. So from 4 to 8, go and talk and learn about some of our wonderful history. Next announcement is the, the Alloway Bellin Health Farmers Market. Trevor, what's the announcement?
Just an update. We've had the farmers market. This would have been our fourth year. Unfortunately, we did not receive the vendor response we were anticipating, and so we are not able to host it again this year. We are still working with one of the produce vendors to still sell either right out here at the Village Hall or up on Webster.
Okay. Thank you. As of June 4th, the village will be on summer hours, Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Fridays from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Next announcement, open book on May 22nd from 8 to 10, board of review on May 31st from 8 to 10. If I read that right? Yeah. And so if you are interested in understanding how your property was assessed and want to take a look at that, you can call the Village Assessor's Office at 920-468-9698 and start the process. All of the information is on the Village of Alloway website, villageofalloway.com. The Plan Commission meeting, originally scheduled for May 28th, is being rescheduled to May 21st, so a week earlier. That is due to the Memorial Day holiday. The neighborhood garage sale in Alloway is this weekend. The last time I looked, I think there were 49 different garage sales going on in Alloway this weekend. You can find the location by going to the Village of Alloway website, and there's a news item on that in the news section, but there's a site that has a map and it shows you where everything is. Hopefully it'll be a nice weather weekend for that. The Bell and Run, is coming up on June 9th. And before that, on June 2nd, Saturday, June 2nd, from 5:30 to 8, there is a neighborhood appreciation concert in Green Isle Park, I believe, right? Or in Astor Park, I apologize. And the band Big Mouth is going to be playing from 6 to 8 p.m. The run itself is on Saturday, June 9th. Road closures in Alloway will start at 7:45 a.m., and the road should be open by 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions about that, you can call 920-433-7444. Monthly pickup for bulk has begun, so the first full week of the month on your garbage pickup day will be the day to put out bulk waste, and that goes until November. We take November off and maybe come back in December, according to that. Yep. Spring curbside collection has been extended to May 20th, so cleaning your spring cleanup stuff, get it up to the curb, keep it off the street if you would please, and village staff will come around and pick those things up. Petition in support of decommissioning the Green Bay Correctional Institution. Many of you may have seen in the press over the last week some spots on Alloway promoting a petition to ask the governor and our state legislators to support closing the Green Bay Correctional Institution. There are many reasons for that, primarily economic development, and just safety for the inmates and staff at the correctional institution. The governor has approved a $600,000 study for all of the correctional facilities across the state. That study will be done in November, and we're assuming nothing's going to change in terms of Green Bay Correctional Institution, except maybe it's gotten worse than since 2009. But in any case, what we're doing is collecting signatures in support of that, so that we can provide the governor and our state legislators with some input from local area residents and businesses. If you support that effort, I encourage you to go to villageofalloway.com, click on the yellow bar at the top of the website, and sign the online petition. If you are very interested in seeing that happen and would like to volunteer to help collect signatures, we have paper ballots with areas for lots of signatures. And if you would like to take those around to your friends and neighbors, get those signed, that would be greatly appreciated as well.
Jim, just can I add one thing to that?
You sure may.
I know one of the things that really bothers me about the prison that he didn't mention is that looking at putting, I believe it's $200 million into renovations of the facility, and it's still not going to be safe. So to me, it's like kind of throwing good money after some bad money, and it's not going to really do what it needs to do. That's a point that always sticks in my mind that Jim didn't mention.
Thank you for doing that. And one other question we get asked very often is, what happens to the beautiful historic building out front and the structures that is on the historic registry, and any new development would need to take into account those buildings and incorporate those, which with our tagline being historically progressive, I envision something very neat going in on that property, something that not only Alloway but all of Brown County and Northeast Wisconsin can be extremely proud of. But that's just me.
And that's just me.
And that's just Penny. Thank you for being Penny. Next announcement, temporary Class B and Class B retailers license issued for St. Matt's Church Picnic on June 3rd. It's a reoccurring event. I'm assuming that we've never had any issues with St. Matthew's and the liquor license.
It's a rowdy bunch.
It is a rowdy bunch. But Jason, we're all good? Okay. And I'm guessing is that open to the public?
Of course it is.
So if you would like to have some...
You're all welcome there.
If you would like, all are welcome at St. Matt's on June 3rd for a wonderful parish picnic. Next one, final layer of asphalt to be placed on 2017 street road construction projects. I invite Sean to share some of that with us.
Beginning the end of this week and early next week, the contractor will be moving back in town to put final layer of asphalt on St. Joseph Street, Jordan Lane, Bryan Street, Dietrich Street, Longview Avenue, and Green Isle Park entrance. You may have noticed they've been out there already sweeping, trying to get the sand that has been placed on those roads off so that they can put on the final layer of asphalt.
And it's only going to take them a week to do that?
Shouldn't take that long, right? About a week once they get started.
Great. Thank you. Any other announcements from the board? Hearing none, any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Illinois Bike Ped Committee. There is, on the village website, several very important mistakes that I'd like to see corrected. One with regards to the petition that's out there for the GDCI. I think that I'd like to see that shut down and redeveloped, but GDCI only has 50 acres. It doesn't have 64 acres, so there's a big difference there. So the Department of Corrections doesn't own 64 acres, and I don't believe they own any waterfront property in Alloway. So that's a big, big difference. What I would suggest is that we move forward immediately and petition the Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, and redevelop their 14 acres of surplus property that is on the riverfront and is across the street from the Great Bay Correctional Facility. So there's only 50 acres, which isn't nearly as good as the 14 acres across the street that's owned by the DNR. So the DNR owns those 14 acres, and they own another 5 acres on the other side of Heritage Hill. Heritage Hill is a state park. It's a wonderful facility, and they had kind of wanted to have that land for maybe future development. But since all of the land along the riverfront that's owned by the state is now in play, I would suggest that we talk to the DNR immediately and move forward, because no buildings need to be demolished, no jails need to be constructed. That's something that can be done right away, and maybe something could be started by next year. So again, I'd like to see the petition corrected from 64 acres down to 50, just a hair over 50 acres for the GBCI, the Correctional Institute, and then petition the state DNR to see if we could develop those 14 acres that are ready to go right now. Thank you.
Jim? You're right, the 50 acres, it is on the west side of Riverside Drive, and 14 acres that the DNR owns. The 64 acres aligns with Representative Steffen's proposal to sell the entire property as one from the state's perspective.
I believe that from the village standpoint, rather than waiting 5 or 10 years to start redevelopment of the site, mm-hmm. you could start right away with the 14 acres that's owned by the DNR without getting the correctional facility involved at all. So you could start right now with groundbreaking to start next year on either the 14 acres or maybe a parking lot on the extra 5 acres behind Heritage Hill, and that would help them out too. So you have about 20 acres there that's ready to go right now, and with some planning this year, you could break ground next year. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 5, action regarding billing rates for ambulance services. Chief Litt, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having me back again. There were some questions that were raised. There were some questions that were raised at last board meeting. That I was able to go back and talk with our building service and got hopefully some answers. I think that Brad shared the document with you that I received. But just to recap what's on the document, it did provide to us the payer mix for Alloway, very similar to what the payer mix is in Green Bay. With 64% of those using our service are paid by Medicare, another 7% by Medicaid, 10% by commercial insurance, for a total of 81% from those three sources, and then 19% of the users are private pay or self-pay. Below that, you'll see that there are the rates that Medicare bases their formulas on. They're listed there, $525 on basic life support resident, $630 on non-resident, and down the line. So $625 on ALS for resident, $750 for non-resident, $650 for ALS2, $780 for a non-resident, and loaded miles of $13. Below that is once you apply the Medicare formula that they use, that's what they actually reimburse back to the village and to the city of Green Bay as well, same numbers. And everybody in this region gets reimbursed back that number. So the difference between the two then becomes the responsibility of the user of the service, and that is done through the billing service. They take all the, apply all the different reimbursements to the bill, and then provide our customers or our citizens with a balance that's due, and then again, either work with them on a payment plan or accept the payment, and or if they're a hardship case, go through that process that we talked about the last time. Trustee Dart last meeting asked about what the cost of the service is per call. And that's an interesting question because I could sit here and bore you and I could run the numbers a number of different ways. If you look at just the cost of our personnel, personnel costs, and then amortize the cost of an ambulance and the equipment on there over 4 years. We're replacing the ambulance every 4 years. You run out to about $300. However, when you add in the unfunded gap that the citizens are paying through their taxes, that adds about another $500 per call. So that money's not coming back to the city of Green Bay. It's actually the village of Alloway money that's being supported by taxpayers. So I guess it just depends on the way you want to look at the formulas and how things are reimbursed. I would say that looking at it with half of the, it's basically your contract with Green Bay right now this year, you're paying a little over $1.8 million. Of that, you're getting back about $40,000 in revenue on the ambulance. The actual money back. That's 15% of the total. So that leaves a gap of almost $1.8 million, $1.776. And if you took generally 70% of our calls or ambulance calls here in the village, same as in the city, but I only allotted 50% of that number for that gap insurance. I'll just call it gap insurance. And that's where it takes the number to. I would emphasize again that while maybe some eyebrows were raised at the last meeting about the fact that it was a $200 jump in pretty much the levels. But also emphasize that we're also bundling all of the other supplies. So we're not charging separately for those now. Those are all being bundled at the base rate. So when you factor that in, you're really looking at a $100 increase. And again, you haven't raised your rates since 2011. see if we've made or not raised them since 2010. So while it takes us a little bit above the average, it certainly doesn't take us at the high end, certainly not at the low end. It's just a little bit above the average rate that's being charged throughout the region. And again, it is much less than a non-taxpayer-supported private service.
Any questions for the chief?
More of an observation, I guess, and this isn't a right or wrong or a judgment, whatever, but it's kind of like cost shifting that goes on in hospitals. You know, if an average bill is $100 and everybody pays that, that's great, but if you're only paying 10, somebody's paying 190 or whatever, and that's just kind of how it works, I think. And I don't think we really have a decision to make. I mean, this is simply what we need to do. You know, I mean, that's how it works, you know.
Yeah, I think that just seeing the payer mix is interesting. Obviously, as we age, myself included, we have more medical issues, and that's pretty much standard across the country. So we'll have a much higher, the older your population is, you're going to have more of a Medicare, and that, payer mix there. There's much less people here in Alloway that are unable to pay their bills, or in other words, on Medicaid from the state. That's only 7% here in the village. But when you add all that up, and with the private pay, commercial insurance as well, you're at 81%. That's pretty good. I would tell you, though, that what we bill and what we actually receive, both in Alloway and in Green Bay, is about 50% of what's billed we actually receive. And so, again, our costs in the last 8 or 9 years have gone up exponentially. Just in the cost of personnel, the benefits, cost of equipment, cost of replacement supplies. So that's why we made the request. As I said in the last meeting, we will be reviewing these on an annual basis. I don't expect or suspect that we'll be raising the rates again, because we'll be a little bit higher above the average here. I wouldn't suspect that I would come back and ask for another increase for at least 2, probably 3 years. We'll keep an eye on it. I'll report it out to Brad. Brad, of course, will report it to you, and then you can make a decision on whether or not you want to incrementally adjust it on an annual basis.
Okay, thank you. So you said we only receive about 50% of what we bill?
That's correct.
And what does that do to primarily?
Well, you see the payer mix again. Medicare and Medicaid only pays a certain amount of the bill, and then they pass it off to individuals, and then the individuals make hardship, and they're not able to pay. And so if they're not able to pay, we're not out there squeezing them, for sure. So that's not what I think any of us are here for. We're all public servants, and so we recognize the fact that people struggle with it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for the chief? Trustee Harris.
I'm still uncomfortable with the figures. You've said that it depends on which formula we use to come up with costs. If we don't have a consistent formula, how do we have consistent cost? And then how can we get a revenue figure that we're comfortable with? I have no doubt whatsoever. I agree 100% that there should be an increase. I just want to make sure it's the right amount. That's where I'm still struggling.
All I can tell you is what we're recommending is what the building company, who are the experts in this arena, based on their analysis, that's what they're recommending. We don't have personnel or staff to go out and kind of try to do that kind of analysis. We don't have that expertise. So we're bringing forward what they recommended to us. LifeQuest is a Wisconsin company. They have a very solid and outstanding reputation here in the state and actually in the region. And this has been their recommendation, and so that's what we're following through on. I don't think that the rates, again, when you look at them, the numbers can get a little messy here, of course. You can look at them in a couple of different ways. But in the end, they're recommending rates that, based on what we're seeing around the state, are not out of line.
I understand. I just still, the way it was presented in the information, not by you, but from that company, was here's the amount, and it'll give us the maximum amount we can get back from Medicare. That seems to be the rationale from their perspective. That's where I'm still uncomfortable with that figure. That's all.
Well, if we wanted to break even, we'd have to increase it even more.
If you wanted to break even, we'd be talking about private transporters kind of rates.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so that's in the end, this is supplemented by taxpayers in the city. Everybody here in the village has a share in that. And it's supported by taxpayers. The difference here is that the users are getting an additional fee. You can go about this thing in a couple of different ways. You can put all of it on users, mm-hmm. right? But that's not kind of the standard model that is used in municipalities around the country. What you're doing, what we're doing in Green Bay, is the standard model.
One more thing, if I could, please. So let's say, just hypothetically, a service is $800 as the rate. If instead, and you get X amount back from Medicare or Medicaid, let's say that's $700. If our rate was $1,000, still the maximum you can get back from Medicare or Medicaid is $700, so there's a $300 gap. That has to get paid for either by a private company, a private person, or to the taxpayer. So
No. There's no charge. There's no additional charge back to the taxpayer. That additional.
No, it's to the village itself, because it has to at the end of the year come out of the fire department budget. So all taxpayers would cover it.
I guess so that the gap or the money that's not been paid, the service is already paid for. The entire total of your service is paid through your tax levy. And what we're doing, what the Village of Alloway is doing under the Memorandum of Understanding contract with Green Bay, is you are charging for a user fee for using the ambulance service. Gap. So let's just go to your, if it was 800, I think is what you said, and we only got 500 back, we got a $300 gap. That money is by the billing service. They bill the individual for that money. And oftentimes people have more than one payer. So it could be Medicare, and they have a supplement insurance. And so Medicare will pay their maximum, as you just said. The supplemental insurance will pay a small portion of that, and then the individual will, if they're able, will pay the balance all the way up to the $300. The part that, I guess, the other part of this is commercial insurance will pay 80% of whatever's billed. But Blue Cross and UMR and all the other big insurers in our area, Humana, they will pay 80% of the number because the rates are reasonable. And so, yes, the private insurers are paying, they're actually paying a little bit more. That's just the way it is around the country. Medicare's got, because it's federal government, they set a limit. So is Medicaid to the state. That's the way we're working with here.
Thank you.
I wish I had, I don't know if I've answered your question, but that's the best I can give to you.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Sampson.
If I had somebody ask me a question about this, I couldn't explain it. But I could tell them that we're at about the midpoint. And when you say midpoint, is there anything built in? Because I know if you just raise it to the midpoint, you know, a month from now, you'll be behind the curve. It's in that 50th, 55th percentile. It's not up 60 or 65. We're within a couple percentage points of what everybody else in the state is doing if we do this new rate.
That is correct, and as I said before, I wouldn't be coming back and asking you, you wouldn't see me next year in May saying, hey, Village Board, will you raise the rates again? I'm not coming back next year. What I will tell you is I will provide numbers to Brad as we run them on an annual basis now, and if it takes up, you know, a quarter of a percent, I'm not going to come back and say let's go to a quarter percent. Of course, you can always do that. I would imagine or envision that we probably will not come back and touch these rates again for 3 years.
But it is close enough to the midpoint that if you're having a conversation, you can tell people we're at about the midpoint for that everybody else is.
That is a fact.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the chief?
So just another comment. As at my day job, I'm kind of a frequent flyer for the fire department rescue services, and the services are great. The response time has been really good, and our residents all have to pay that, you know, their Medicare, whatever. But again, if my math is right, 64% are on Medicare, reimbursing at 80%, that's where the shortfall is, and Medicaid's even worse. So I think it's a good service, and I would move to approve.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Chief. Thanks for doing the homework and giving us the input.
Thank you very much for your good questions, and hopefully I won't have to be back here for a couple of years. Anytime you want to see any of us from the fire department here, you can just let us know. To send someone, it overlaps with me, maybe, so myself or Chief Gotham would be here, but really appreciate working with the village. It's been a good endeavor for sure. And I know that from our conversations with the residents and the people that we serve, they're extremely happy with what is going on, so thank you.
Great, thank you very much. Okay, excuse me. We will go to the old 11, the new 5A action request from Riviera Bar and Grill at 2150 Riverside Drive to extend their outdoor premise description for where alcohol can be sold and served. Who'd like to fill us in on this? How about if we invite the owner of Riverside Drive? Do I have a motion to suspend the rules to invite?
So moved.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Ms. O'Brien, would you like to come up and speak to us? Thank you. Pardon me?
I didn't bring my cocktail shaker. Okay, so the request before the board is obviously the concrete patio that is in alignment with the present decking. We are seeking to have the southwest corner match up with the building on the south end of it, and that would just go parallel with the bar entrance, creating a new entrance, and then also creating a new ramp for the handicap access, which we would move to the north of the patio, which would give them a complete, and it's kind of hard to see on this drawing because it's not scale, obviously, but where that pergola comes over, there's 4 feet there, which we are also going to resurface. Right now it's the old blacktop, mm-hmm. So our patio would be concrete, and that whole concrete section would then head north, which would provide easier access for our handicapped patrons to come. That would, of course, allow us then to serve alcohol on the patio.
There's different levels with the existing patio and the concrete?
Yep, when they shot it with the transom, the highest level differential would be obviously on the southwest corner, as that's where the biggest grade is coming down that driveway that's to the south. So that we have about a 9-inch, but as you go more towards the area that's signified as handicap ramp, that is almost to grade there. And for what I understand, it's an 8-12 for every 8 inches. We've got a 12-foot extension that's required. So Kevin is, when we start to do construction on this, obviously we'll have him come over just to make sure. But I think we're only going to be ending up with maybe a 2-inch grade. Our entrance is going to be where that diagonal line is there, which was the 5 feet to the right, which was the 5 feet that we had designated for handicap. And that's just for their accessibility. They need 60 inches to be able to mobilize to get into the property. That will be adjacent to their designated parking spot on the north side. So it's going to make it a lot easier transition. So there'll be a separate entrance for the handicap. And then, yes, all of us well-abled bodies will have to step up or step down.
Is there a fence around that? I know
there's a... It will all be enclosed, and we're also going to be doing some greenscape just to kind of soften it. But, of course, you want to keep it low enough so we can still maintain that beautiful view.
Mm-hmm. When do you hope to do that?
Tuesday, if everything goes well. It's hard to get these contractors. I had to just kind of commit before I committed. But, yeah. So I'd like to start that work as soon as possible and take advantage of the beautiful summer that we have left.
And how about the next drum, the outdoor fence area, music only Sundays, daytime?
Yeah, we have had numerous requests to create some kind of a music venue there. There's been a lot of discussion with Rick Pinebrook and a couple of the entertainers and also some venues within Brown County about Sunday afternoons. Some of us don't want to be out until the last dog is hung. So creating kind of a daytime venue that has some great entertainment to bring into the marketplace would create some more, I guess, Sunday afternoon activities for all of us. And so we obviously own that portion of the parking lot. I also have spoken to Shank out of Fond du Lac, and they are more than willing to provide extra additional space. Obviously, that area is going to have to conform with the regulations of the village and the local laws and ordinances, but we'd probably just do a 2 to 6 o'clock Sundays.
But do you envision putting a fence around that?
Oh, absolutely. There'd have to be a fence and proper security and IDs being checked, and you know, it would kind of have the same feel that we offer now. I mean, it, we're going to have to invest in some things that look nice because that's the way we would want it. So we'd probably have to submit that to you guys to make sure it's working. And
so, are we thinking of a portable fence for that area?
Well, we have to keep them in, so however that works. There's some cattle fencing. We have a few patrons that have fencing as well that probably would donate something. You know, our customers, a lot of the local people in the area are really looking forward to something like that. So I don't know if it's a per occurrence or if it's something that you just want to provide and then we, bring you the actual layout and who's playing, and I don't know how you want that handled.
How often do you see doing that? Every Sunday?
I'd love to.
Okay.
A lot of great music out there.
Yep.
I don't have much time left. So, yeah, we've had bands approach us.
Okay, great.
You know, there's not much on the river that you can have that kind of venue.
Enjoy that.
Very good. Any other questions for Brian?
Are you anticipating any other, if you expand out, not just with the patio, but you know, Sunday, are you anticipating any other stations, for lack of a better word, where you would be serving alcohol, or would that not change on a Sunday?
No, it would be just within the fencing area. You know, we would only be asking for permission. I mean, I have the driveway, I own that one, and then I own a majority of the driveway on the south side as well. So, you know, we just want to serve the alcohol within the fenced area.
So there would be more areas, maybe I didn't ask it well enough, there would be other areas, additional areas where the alcohol would be dispensed?
Only in the gated area, no other area. Inside the bar, on the deck, on the patio, and within the fenced area.
Would there be another bar, like a portable bar outside?
With an area that large with blacktop, we'd probably create some type of a tent just for shade and just kind of a place where people could actually, relax and not have to be in the beating sun.
But drinks would have to be purchased inside?
The alcohol, if the permit would allow, we would probably bring in some vendors. So that we would bring, triangle in with beer truck.
That's some of what I was getting at.
Okay.
Would you have to continue to go inside to purchase alcohol, or are you anticipating having an outside area on Sundays to purchase alcohol?
So when you say inside, you mean inside the building, not inside the fence?
Correct. Yes, I didn't explain it well.
Sorry. Okay, if you come inside any of that area, yes, we would have additional locations for convenience only.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Take a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. So tonight we're being asked to approve both of these or just the one patio with Murray wants to start construction on Tuesday. Brad, Trevor?
I think she's asking for both.
For both.
But I don't know if you want to set dates for the Sundays or is that...
Yeah, I think personally I would think that we should probably have some more discussion on the Sundays while I'm excited about it. From staff's perspective, is there anything that we need to do to, from an ordinance perspective? And
our building inspector, Kevin, is taking a look at it. Just provided a few comments that Mara had mentioned already, and then our fire department has also reviewed it, and I believe has commented that they would just need a improved fencing.
Okay. Okay, well then I will accept the motion on one or both items on this agenda.
I'd move to include them both. And allow them to move forward.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Are we anticipating the fence to be permanent or taken up and down every week? I'm not clear on that part of it.
Temporary.
Up and down every week.
It'll be up and down.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? My only amendment to that motion would be to work with staff to make sure that all the ordinances are followed. Is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second to approve. Excuse me. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We're looking forward to Sunday concerts at Riviera. Thanks, Murray. Item 5B, the old number 10, request to keep ducks. Mr. Lang.
I do have here tonight Mike, our code enforcement officer, and Monica, who does our animal control. So they both have visited the site and have some additional information to share. What we did do, though, is checking the surrounding communities. And Mike, please correct me if I'm wrong, but no communities around here are allowing anything other than chickens, and in some cases, pigeons in a limited amount. Application to allow someone to raise hens does state no fowl on it. So it is against our ordinance from the way we view it. Is it a good idea or a bad idea? That's the million-dollar question. What I can say is the biggest fear that we have had in our discussions is what's next. Is it pigeons? Is it geese, or what's next? And that's an issue that's kind of holding us back right now with a formal recommendation. I would just share with you what we have found. Are there places in the state? Probably, but we didn't do a complete search for the entire state. So,
Brad, are you aware of any issues with ducks? Like, are they noisier than chickens? Are they?
No.
Harder to contain than a chicken.
I know that I did some research on duck eggs that are supposed to be very nutritious.
And would we allow boy ducks or just girl ducks?
Now, one article I read recommended male ducks. I don't know. I'm relying a little bit on Monica
for
expertise, mm-hmm. and Mike will visit the site.
Roosters are out because of their noise.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I don't know that much about ducks and weasels.
Wouldn't we like to suspend the rules and invite Monica and Mike and whoever else to come up?
Sure.
Okay, I'll take that motion.
I'll second.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Would you like to come up and share some wisdom?
Well, I'm Monica Huff. I'm a humane officer.
Monica, if you could do me a favor for the benefit of our...
Tom?
Yep.
We good?
Speak into it. There
okay.
you go.
My input comes by, in terms of my priority, would be the care and how well the animals are being cared for. In terms of other issues, that's kind of different. So this particular site, the animals seemed healthy. The food, water was adequate. My only thing with this was the enclosure was kind of a temporary one, and I believe it's because the petitioner is hesitating to make his permanent facility until he gets it approved. But I made it clear that the enclosure not only has to keep the animals in, but it has to keep our predator animals out, namely owls, hawks, a few fox here and there, maybe even raccoons. So when it comes to whether it's hens or ducks or whatever, your enclosure has to be sturdy enough to keep predators out, not just the animal, like the fowl, in. But other than that, I guess my feeling is that a well cared for, three ducks that are well cared for and follow all of the ordinance in terms of chickens, cleaning up everything up every 24 hours, a nice attractive enclosure. The footprint, I couldn't see being any different than the chickens. Okay, so from that perspective, the care of the animals, it's purely, are they following the ordinance in terms of care? And if they do, then it would seem to me probably you wouldn't know whether they had chickens or ducks if you were just living next door, unless you went and looked to see what was inside the pen. So that would be my input, I guess, as a humane officer.
For ducks, would there have to be more space? I need so many feet for one chicken.
Yeah.
Do you need so many feet for one duck?
Well, I guess probably a little bit more, maybe, because they can walk around a little bit more, and you might have to add some sort of water. But some of that depends on the breed of duck. Some of these exotic ducks, I don't believe, require any more water type than the drinking and all that would be. They're not like mallards, they're domestic ducks. So we're not talking about wild ducks that are going to be flying around. These are domestic ducks. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the petitioner's here, but Mr. Gopher, but I don't think this breed even flies that he has. They're kind of a meat duck, I guess, originally bred for that. Big and kind of just...
Well, we would have to change our code to include ducks to allow this. So then would we have to include species of ducks so we don't have these other ducks that you're referring to? Right?
Well, it would have to be domestic duck anyway. People are not allowed to keep
wild
ducks
animals.
Unless it's under some sort of like the RPAWS program. And we address that in our ordinance in a different location where they're under the supervision of the wildlife sanctuary and under their license to keep any kind of wild animal that's native to Wisconsin. So, yeah. It'd be like exotic ducks, domestic ducks. I guess we'd have to, our orders have to, we'd have to put maybe some reference to standards of care for ducks and, accepted standards of care, But our chicken ordinance covers a lot of that about sound and noise and cleanliness and all that kind of stuff, so.
Okay.
But there is the other issue, though, but that's a different issue than from what my priority is, are the animals being cared for humanely and appropriately and on. And from that perspective, if they are, I don't know that it would be a bigger impact, three ducks versus four hens. I don't know that it would be different.
And it's your position that they are being well cared for?
Yes, as long as they make it the permanent structure that we talked about.
Okay.
They still would need that. But they seemed very healthy, and it was cleaned up and everything. So,
okay. Any other questions for Monica?
Is your gut feeling that this would be a problem? in the village if we approve that? Or, you know, the old slippery slope and
from
all that?
My perspective, from my perspective with regards to animals, it's not about the animal, it's about the people taking care of them. So the bottom line is, you know, you can have one dog can be just a monumental problem if the person isn't taking care of it properly and it's barking all the time and they take it for walks or let it run loose or they don't pick up. So to me, it's all about the people that are in charge of the animal. It's not so much the animal per se, whether it's ducks, geese, pigeons, cat, dog, whatever. It's all about are the people, you know, is the person who's caretaking the animal being responsible and taking care of it properly. So.
Okay. And our only measurement of that would be complaints, probably, or lack of.
Or whatever kind of schedule of inspection we do. I mean, I believe we inspect the chicken set up before they're granted their permit. Yeah.
With regard to the chickens or hens, I'm not familiar enough with what's in place today. You just said there's an initial inspection. Is there any sort of annual permit, whether it's a charge for permit or not, where maybe an annual inspection is done?
Do they get a permit every year, Brent? You know?
Yes.
They get a permit every year, don't they?
Yes, but it's not inspected.
Every year. I don't know if they have to be inspected. That would be complaint-driven, I guess.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Monica?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mike, do you have anything to share?
I was asked to sort of check and see what the other villages and cities in the area were doing and point out nobody allows ducks. There are pigeons. Was the only other thing besides the chickens that I was found that have been allowed. And when we're talking about this starting out, if we're going to allow ducks, where is this going to go? Yes, I have had received calls asking about keeping pigeons already. So if we're going to step on one, where are we going to go with the other one? With that, some of the places don't have a number of pigeons. They don't have a number, you know, they always have their set number of chickens. And then I did ask about that, which we didn't have, and the point coming up that both Green Bay and Ashwaubenon, which I think something we could think of, that make the people who want the animals to get a written signature from the neighbors allowing, so that they know that this is coming in, because this is how we found out about the ducks, because neighbors are complaining, you know, so all of a sudden we have somebody putting in a duck pen to get their permit. So
sorry,
I personally, like I said when asked, I think we're opening up a can of worms. I think that the way things are going, that we should consider calling me before I make a decision on that.
Did any of the other areas see why they don't have ducks, or that maybe nobody ever asked for a duck?
Well, I believe some probably haven't. I know where, and maybe Monica, when I was reading Howard's, they had districts where you could have more animals because they have a further out, more of a district where there's some farm areas. So then they allowed the different numbers. But as for Ashwaubenon or us or anything else like this, it's granted on the board that there's not allowed. And again, I guess it's maybe we're just the first ones that have come up with somebody requesting it. But it's something we have to face.
Well, we are historically progressive.
Any questions for Mike? Thank you very much. With our current ordinance with chickens, are those chickens, can they just be pets, or are they there for producing eggs and food as a food source?
The intent of the change in the ordinance when we allowed them was for people to collect the eggs.
Okay. Did Doug? Okay. Monica?
Just to address that real quick. The whole purpose of most of the chicken ordinances in any of the communities is that because the whole thing about people wanting to raise fresh eggs and their own eggs, most of the ordinances specifically say no roosters, no raising chickens, and no meat production. You have your chickens for eggs, not to ultimately produce meat. There's no slaughtering taking place. Most of the ordinances specifically say that's not allowed on a residential lot to slaughter them. So they're there to have eggs. That's it. And most people that have them see them as their pets, and name them and all that kind of stuff. And if we do go with ducks, I would say that those standards should be raising baby ducklings. They shouldn't be thinking that, we're going to raise ducks and eat them. It would be about that these are, kind of pets. Maybe they like the duck egg versus the chicken egg, whatever. But because I don't think we want to get into, because then it becomes an agricultural purpose right. for your animal. And that's not most of the ordinances that I read, most of all of them, that's not the purpose, to be some kind of agricultural production.
It's more like a garden.
Yeah.
That produces.
Yeah.
Do ducks, now this might be a really silly question for people that might know more about ducks, but do ducks only lay eggs in a certain season, or are ducks like chickens and lay eggs all year round? And is the purpose of this gentleman to get eggs?
Probably a better question for him. In the wild, ducks, they make their clutch, but if they disappear, then they'll make another clutch of it. They'll make...
But it's not all year round. It's a seasonal.
Generally. Yeah. But it depends. And chickens even tend to lay less in winter, mm-hmm. I understand, I believe.
Yes. So,
Thank you, Monica. Sir, would you like to address?
Hi. My name is Dan Whipp, and 5.5 years ago, my wife and I purchased a home from Jack Kitzler on Woodview Lane. Love the neighborhood, and I'm not here to cause any trouble, but last fall, the home next to us was purchased, and I noticed a wood pallet pen go up, and ducks were introduced into the pen. I just was curious. I found out the contact and got a hold of Mr. Lang and inquired about what the rules were, if they were allowed, not allowed. So that's kind of how this whole thing got going. Okay. My wife is a longtime member of the Shawano County 4-H, and she did raise domestic ducks as part of the 4-H program. And our concerns with that are, the fact that the yards are close together and there is going to be a smell associated with that. In the summertime with the heat and humidity, we're looking at the time that we have to spend outside enjoying the weather. That's our concern. And no matter how clean you do keep it, and the gentleman that owns the house has kept everything up and done what he's supposed to with that. So that's our number one concern. My wife is home during the day, and she's noticed a lot of turkey coming around the backyard, and they're going around this pen, and I would assume maybe getting food that splashes out. So it's inviting those other creatures in the backyard more than what has been in the past 5.5 years that we've been there. And then, like David talked about, where does this end? If you allow ducks, then somebody raises potbelly pigs, they're cute, and we're going to have those, we did have potbelly pigs for my kids when we were little, but we lived out in the country. So that was, that's the whole concern, is that if you live out in the country, it's great to have as many pets as you want and do what you want with that, but living in town, it's just more of a concern with the smaller yards and everything, that the animals are there, and are other pests going to come, mice and rats and stuff. So that was pretty much it. Just wanted to express concern. Thank you, for the time, for letting me to talk to you about that and see what happens.
Any questions for Mr. Witt?
Are you adjacent property owner?
Yes.
Right next door?
Yep, right next door.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and I've only met the homeowner once. Like I said, I don't really feel bad even coming here. I don't want to create any problems, but, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't feel comfortable going and approaching him, because I'm sure that if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd say, well, yeah, you know, these are pets. What am I going to do? So that's why, you know, went to the third party and thought, we'll just figure out what the rule is going to be, and whatever it is, we'll live with the rule and go from there.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, okay. Sir.
Yep, thank you.
Is there anyone else here tonight who would like to speak on this issue?
I'm Tim Volker. I'm a resident of Alloways over 30 years. And my son, Scott's the one that lives at 136 Woodview Lane. Why he brought those ducks in was because his uncle's got the farm, and he bought the ducks when they were small, and his uncle fell, so he couldn't take care of them. So he brought them in town, and he fell in love with the creatures, you know, animals, I should say. The neighbor never came over, was, you know, displeased with it or anything like that. Like you said, he doesn't want to cause the same problems. Neither does Scott. The thing is, he'll keep it clean, but we don't want to make any problems either. But I was going to say this, but they're going to be going out back to the farm because my brother's doing better. But it's my son's ducks. And if he can't take care of them next winter, just like Monica was saying, we were going to make a nicer pen if we want to bring them back in if we could. If he can't take them, you know, during winter. But we're going to take down the pen that my son made, and that wouldn't be used again. It'd be a nicer built fence area. Like Monica said, that you should have a top to it, which I didn't know. But like the gentleman, Mr. Witt, was saying, that turkeys, I got turkeys right on MacArthur Street right now. I have no animals. Mm-hmm. So them turkeys ain't being drawn in by them ducks. So, but like I said, you know, it's, we don't want to make any problems for the village. And the thing is, the ducks you can't even hear because you got 172 right in back. They don't make any more noise than a dog across the street. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any questions?
Any questions?
I have one. So you said that right now the original owner is doing better and the ducks are going back there, but they may come back later on.
Well, if possible, if you can't take care of them. But my son is the owner. He bought them when they were chicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have mixed gender of ducks?
No, they're all three white ones.
And are they male, female?
No, gender.
Oh. What is it? One hen?
One hen and female.
Two females. They don't lay any eggs either. And
they don't?
We don't plan on eating much ducks either.
And they stay outside in the winter too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I raised them all my life, and that's where they all stay.
Okay.
How long does a duck live?
I couldn't tell you.
I would say 4 or 5 years at most.
Domestic ones are taken care of. And, yeah.
And how old are they now?
About a year at most.
Okay, any other questions?
Yes.
Mr.
I have a question. I don't know if you can answer it, but for the farmers in the house, are ducks, reference was made to an odor. Are ducks notorious for being an odoriferous poultry?
I'm no farmer, but I can't smell them right now. And if, you know, like the gentleman was saying, that when it's humid out, I'm sure that windows are going to be closed if you have central air. But, you know, he's been cleaning them every week, and I don't smell anything right now.
Yeah, if they are, that's right. The cleaning would kind of dictate. Thank you.
And just as a partial farm girl, in my earlier years, I think chickens are smellier than ducks.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Yeah, I'll take a motion to pick up the rules.
So moved.
Thank you. Second.
By
Trustee Sampson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item?
It's a tough one. It is a tough one. I want this young man to have his ducks, but I don't want to open a can of worms.
Is there a middle ground where the ducks could be going back to the farm, and then we could address it if they come back, or if they need to come back or something?
I would kind of bring them back in the winter because it's easier for me to take care of them.
Okay. So it's kind
of... So like you said about the feed and the turkeys, turkeys are moving right now. They're in breeding season.
Yeah.
So that's not... the case right
now. Yeah, I don't. We don't need to debate, you know, the turkeys at this point right here.
I'm
with Trustee Genrich. I wish we could find a middle ground, you know, in terms of this would have been so much easier if you would have just checked the code before you brought the ducks in. You know, I mean, you can't just arbitrarily bring in. I'm sorry. So, but
just a touch base on that.
So with that being said, it's just such a difficult decision because I know they're pets and you want to keep them in the area, but you are opening up a can of worms. We have a code enforcement officer that we employ. We've heard his decision or his opinion, and I think we need to respect that.
So would someone like to make a motion?
One other question. We don't have a conditional use. Conditional use for ducks.
I was thinking the same.
Like we do it, you know, planning,
conditional,
zoning, conditional duck.
Temporary
zoning? Do I have a motion on this item?
Not yet.
No.
Keep trying.
Can I, I don't know if I'm opening up a different can of worms, but along the lines of our idea with keeping bees on village property, we were looking at certain items or certain areas or certain instances as an experiment to see how it worked.
Pilot program.
Whether it's a platform as opposed to a...
I hate to end this, but we shouldn't be discussing it unless we have a motion. So I'll and I don't mean to cut you off.
I don't know if that's an option to make as a motion.
Okay. You can make any kind of motion you want,
Trustee Harris. I'll make a motion that we amend the ordinance to allow the keeping of ducks.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion, Trustee Harris?
I'd be interested in seeing if we, what our options are and where it could lead if we were to grant, whether it's a one-time exception, whether it's a certain part of the village, whether it's some sort of specific instance of this happening. Again, I don't know if that opens up other cans of worms for other species, other animals, other who knows what, but I'm just looking, again, for other options for us.
One problem I do have with even a temporary or conditional use is we already have a neighbor that doesn't agree with it. So that's true. Not right either.
True.
Because when we started the chicken ordinance, you had to get permission from all the neighbors. And then after a couple years of that being very successful and no issues, we dropped the neighbor
right.
notification.
And
so
the idea of experimenting with the bees was only on public property, so never mind. The motion wouldn't work.
We dropped the practice of asking neighbor approval or actually deleted it from the ordinance?
Deleted it.
From the ordinance.
So it's
okay.
Not even in there anymore.
Okay. Weren't any issues?
I've got two observations. One is just a personal anecdote. I have a niece who got married recently, and she and her new husband moved out to the Stiles area because they wanted to keep a few chickens. And she likes bunnies, too. And that's not me. But there's a generation, backyard poultry, especially the chicken brags, as was referenced, that's getting to be popular. Mm-hmm. If ducks are potentially an egg, you know, a viable, healthy food source. And the other thing is, I might be inclined to support it if we have the mechanism in place between the animal control and the ordinance to intervene if it's not done well, or if there are complaints. If we have that ability, and I admit I don't know how much recourse we have if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
But if we put some more restrictions on it, at the recommendation of Monica, in terms of a roof or a top to keep the owls and whoever else out of there, you know, we could add some restrictions to it, I guess.
Could we also have the neighbor, if they could work it out with the neighbor, that he would agree for a trial for X amount of time? I don't know if he would be willing to do that, but if you could, they could decide, like, oh, this just isn't working, it really does smell.
The thing about that, the property owner would need to build a new structure.
And it would be costly for the property owner.
At risk. But I thought much the same thing, quite honestly.
But then we're also putting the onus on the neighbors and not by us making a decision.
Right.
Well, one other thing I'll mention is I just went door-to-door to get elected, and there are so many dogs, large dogs, barking dogs, you know, kind of annoying dogs. And from the noise aspect, and maybe there is some odor, if ducks are similar to chickens, relatively speaking, and they don't make a lot of noise and we allow chickens, I'm willing to see how it goes.
I am inclined to, because someone did come forward with a concern, I am more inclined to, if the ducks are going to go out to the farm temporarily, I would then say we should learn what we can learn before winter and maybe talk to the area residents, let them know what we're thinking, and maybe get some either support from the neighborhood in question and maybe do a trial run come winter. I don't know.
How many different instances of hens do we have in the village, approximately?
I'm thinking 5 or 6.
Yeah, less than 10? Okay. I didn't think it was many. But so, but what we started with there was an experiment. You have to get neighbors' permission. There were no issues.
And there was one man that really loved his hens.
He does.
I understand. And I just, I'm wondering if that's
the precedent
to follow. I don't.
It is, but here we skip the whole neighborhood notification piece.
Right, that's where I'm back and forth and back and forth.
Whoever mentioned the idea of the homeowner potentially getting support from the neighbors for a trial run, if we didn't require them to build a brand new structure, but if they did something to enclose it to prevent predators from attacking, I would personally be open to that. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. The mood of the board seems not to say yes, in my opinion, but it seems as though the board wants to see if we can find some kind of a compromise. But I don't know that we can come up with that compromise tonight. But I don't know waiting will help either. I would be willing to make a substitute motion entering into a process where we invite the resident with the ducks to petition the neighborhood or share the information with the neighborhood and see what if he can get support from the neighbors, at which time we could do it on a conditional use type of thing. So I will make that substitute motion.
I'll second that. asked you if I could come up and visit the ducks to just see them.
Yeah, we have no problem.
How it works.
So I have a motion on the floor. Do I get a second?
A second.
Any discussion on the substitute motion?
Just limited. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, just one. The only thing I don't like about the substitute motion is the fact that you're pitting neighbors against neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I think there should be a ground that they can communicate with one another without being forced to communicate with one another. Then it comes to us if it can't be resolved. The fact of the matter is here is that there was an ordinance. It was in place. It was overlooked to check. We have a code enforcement officer that went out, checked. It's in violation. I just think we have to respect the process. I'd love to say, yes, no big deal. But I don't know if that substitute motion works. Because I do. I think it pits neighbors against neighbors. You've got one person with ducks that's going to walk around and say, okay, come on, so we can get this guy to say yes. I don't like that. Okay. I don't think it's fair.
So if people are interested in trying to come up with a solution, we can't think of one tonight, we can postpone the decision. Or just deny it and take it up at another time. We could deny it for now and take it up at another time when the ducks may return. And I have a request from the floor to suspend the rules. I have a motion. Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Come on up, sir.
I was just going to add that we did talk to the neighbor that's on the left side of us, or left side of Scott, and he had no problems.
Okay. Okay, great.
And there's no really other neighbors that could even see him, how the format of the houses are.
Okay.
And they can't hear him for sure.
Okay.
Or smell.
Thank you. By motion, pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Let's. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. One of the things that I've done is researched the different neighborhoods, different restrictive covenants throughout the city, and the Village of Alloway had a retroactive restrictive covenant put in place by a neighborhood and on Wabener, because in the 1820s and 1830s, restrictive covenants became very popular to improve neighborhoods and to create harmony in neighborhoods. That's what restrictive covenants in a subdivision is supposed to do. And Wabener Street actually formed a neighborhood organization and put their own restrictive covenants on their lots that were more restrictive than the village. So what you're looking at right now is a lot of restrictive covenants in the cities that are in force don't allow pets and that type of thing. But really what you're talking about doing is putting in restrictive covenants and coming up with some sort of agreement between neighbors, and that's what you need to do. So if you're going to open up to ducks and open up your can of worms, you should probably take a look at all the animals that you're going to let in and come up with kind of one comprehensive plan for it. And you may want to take a look at restrictive covenants that are put in different neighborhoods around the city.
Wouldn't you call this unrestricted covenants?
No, a restrictive covenant usually exceeds the laws of the community. So,
exceeds, not
it goes above further and beyond. So it expands. So whether it's fences and pools and
so it's more restrictive.
It's more restrictive.
So what we're looking at is actually an unrestricted, because we're allowing.
Well, you're going to allow whatever pets you're going to do, whatever pets you're going to allow. You might want to address the can of worms today instead of kick that can down the road. So if you're going to allow whatever, the ducks and pigeons and everything else, you should come up with some sort of ordinance that takes that into account now and don't just say ducks and then say we're going to worry about pigeons later. You should probably take the summer, figure out what it is, put it on the agenda, and come up with some sort of rule in October before winter kicks in so he knows that he has to build his
Thank you. Motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Judy, I didn't see your hand. Who knew?
Judy Pope, 2375 Riverside Drive. I spent a summer, three summers ago, with 24 wild turkeys in my yard. I survived very well. The turkeys didn't stink. I'm thinking that maybe there might be a way that since these yards are next to each other, that they could position the ducks' facility farther away from the neighbors, and maybe there's a tree or something that could provide some shade or, you know, some such for the animals in the cage. But I don't think that Huey, Dewey, and Louie are going to cause any long-term problems any more than a neighbor moving in with three unruly children. And thank you.
Thank you, Judy. You always bring the common sense to the board. Thank you.
Words of wisdom.
Are we still in like an open discussion, or are we closed now?
We're going to. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Harris. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Trustee Atwood.
What about a solution to this problem being simply this? Mr. Walker's uncle is on the mend. We give Mr. Walker X number.
Volker.
I'm sorry. X number of days to transport the ducks back to his uncle's facility. Petition the village to revisit the ordinance and rewrite it if we deem necessary before winter, to put it on the back on the agenda item, and that way we go through the process of looking at it from all angles and considering all issues.
Would you like to say that in the form of a motion? Is that a motion?
That is, sure. We'll make that. You okay. Want me to shorten it up?
New substitute motion.
So a new substitute
new
motion.
New substitute
is
motion would be to give Mr. Volker 2 weeks to transport the ducks back to his uncle's farm. We will put it on the agenda as an action item and discuss it further on rewriting the ordinance to allow ducks or not to allow ducks.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a second on that motion? Trustee Sampson, any discussion?
Seems like a fair compromise, I think.
Judy's point is well taken in terms of position of the pen, screening of the pen to prevent any potential issues with neighbors, and those are the kinds of things that we can look at. And to Mr. O'Rourke's point, consider if we're going to say yes to ducks, what else are we going to say yes to? We already say yes to chickens. So I think your motion is a good one. Any other discussion? How many days do you suggest we... 2 weeks?
I suggested two.
Okay. We have a motion on the table and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I thank everyone for your input on this. We'll keep looking into it. We thank you for bringing this to our attention. Getting back to our normal agenda, we're on action item 6, action regarding ordinance 2018-06, code 432-3, storage of waste between collections. Brad?
Excuse me, this is the suggested changes to the ordinance. most specific is to remove that the line that as best reasonable as possible consider the features of the property. Take that out of the mix. So, we ask that this new version be approved by the board. Mike's here if he has any other comments on it, but it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, thank you.
Move to approve.
I'd second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I'm sorry, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for putting that together. Action item 7, action regarding ordinance 2018-05, code 302, restrictions on operating sound amplifiers. We made some changes to the terminology from jukebox or any other loudspeaker to sound application devices just to keep things clean, it looks as though.
Right.
And current. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Second by Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor, signal.
Brad's got something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brad?
I just would like to thank Debbie for her input on all these. She does a great job with the language.
Thank you.
And we did pull out any reference to cassette or 8-track tapes in there.
45s.
Reel to reel.
And so we have a motion and a second. Excuse me. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 8, request from Alloway Optimist Club for a vendor permit and noise variance permit to allow music at Green Isle Park during Alloway Fest on June 10th. Mr. Clark's not here, but this is a recurring event. The 33rd Annual Alloway Fest Precious Metals and Car Show. It will be held Sunday, June 10th at Green Isle Park. Proceeds from this fundraising event go to local youth organizations as well as the Village of Alloway. The staff recommends the approval to the Alloway Optimist for Alloway Fest. And they will have a DJ. They will have people on site to make sure that the noise is not getting crazy. Anything else, Brad?
No, this is a 32nd annual. So
33rd.
33rd, I missed a year.
Just one world.
But it's a great event. I don't think we've ever had any problems with it, to the best of my knowledge. So I will accept a motion on that item.
Move to approve.
Everyone's helping. Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I realize some of the proceeds come back to the village, and then I was noticing how the fee gets waived. I didn't know how many different instances we have where the fee is getting waived or not getting waived, and I want to just make sure we're being consistent with that.
Typically, if we get a request, I use the kickball tournament that we had a few years ago, they had asked for the waiving of the fee as well. So it's always an option. Certainly, the staff cannot approve the waiver of the fees, but it's an option that's out there for that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 9. Site plan and design review of Old River Condominiums at 3010 Riverside Drive. Before I accept the motion or talk about this, I just want to apologize to the gentlemen who are here tonight. I should have thought to move you up, and I apologize, but I hope you enjoyed our discussion on ducks. So, Trevor or Brad, why don't you fill us in?
Sure. As the memo says in the packet, this is a site plan review. This project has received the conditional use earlier this year to construct 15 condo units on this property at 3010 Riverside Drive. With that conditional use, this is an allowed use for this property. So the site plan review process is just looking at our current ordinances and making sure that everything is in compliance. Through the review process, we also sent it out to the different departments that are voting and generate a list of comments that are generally taken care of prior to that building permit being issued. There are just a few minor ones related to zoning, and I think they'd be easily addressed. I think it's just a clarification on the plans as far as setbacks and heights and that sort of thing. Spoke with the engineer about the floodplain issue at the bottom of the first page on the memo, and that will be addressed as well. And then there are other comments from building inspectors that I think will be resolved with additional plans. Fire department is just asking some specs for their vehicles. The one comment is with our parks department, we didn't receive a landscaping plan, so that was not able to be reviewed. And in the public works department, we do have a couple of comments that I believe will be resolved either through stormwater permit or an easement agreement, an engineering agreement with the developer as far as utilities and that sort of thing. And then as well as just further discussion regarding location of garbage collection, because this property owner is hoping to have the village collect garbage like we do in other condo projects. But the point at which on the property will be collecting garbage is something that we can discuss through our public works department. And then as part of the conditional use approval, there's the addition of the trail connection to the Fox River Trail. Currently, this property is, if I had an aerial up, you'd see that this is a southern part of the project, and then there's a proposed trail connection to a certain existing service road around one of our stormwater ponds, and then there's a existing gravel path around the stormwater pond that we currently use as a service road for vehicles. And then at the western end of this property, there is Fox River Trail that goes along here. So the proposal would be to pave that gravel portion and make that connection to the Fox River Trail.
Anything else?
I just want to thank Sean and Trevor and Kevin and Jeff and a few other staff members that were involved with a nice meeting with the developer and Mount Associates to kind of address some of the concerns that we all had. And Sean came up with the idea of putting together the engineering agreement. So just to make sure that we have everything addressed. A very good discussion, and thanks, Sean, for getting that put together.
Great. So from a fire truck being able to get in and around and all that, that's fine?
Yeah. That was one of our comments to the developer. There were two related to that, fire truck and then a garbage collection truck. We want to make sure that fire truck can get in and out of this site, and Ma was currently working on providing an exhibit showing fire truck access in and out, and they are also preparing an exhibit showing a garbage truck turn movement in and out. And I've been working with Ma, Tanya Wagner. There are 7 permits that they need submit and ultimately get approval on, and we're working through that. We'll be meeting with Tanya tomorrow afternoon. I know the developer's anxious to get started. There's quite a bit to be done yet. Permits, as mentioned by Trevor, the public water main that will serve this site. Ma needs to draft up easements for that public water main. There's some in addition to the public sanitary sewer that we already have out there, there's the need for more sewer. There'll be an easement that'll be needed for that. There's quite a bit to be done yet. We need to talk about the trail as well and the cost to build that. So, and one of the things that we've been talking about is that we probably have to rewrite the easement. There are a couple different easements out there. There's a utility easement where a segment of the trail will be constructed, and there's an easement out there for the pond. And those easements will have to be rewritten to allow for the use of that property for trail use. So there's quite a bit to be done, and we'll work as hard as we can to get it done in a timely fashion so we can get started.
Back to Trevor for just a second. Would you put the trail back up? And I know at Plan Commission that came up, because at one time there was going to be trail access, and that was when it was a bunch of apartment buildings, the first time a project was brought to us on this property, and now that's changed. So just so the board is clear, the difference and why.
Sure. Yeah, as you mentioned, there was the initial plan was a lot more dense, and as part of the conditional approval for that project, the village had asked the developer to provide public parking spaces on their development for trail access. This development is less dense, which means that construction costs obviously have to be spread over fewer units, but also the type of the development is different, in that condos are traditionally a little more secluded, private. So it was, I believe, discussed during the conditional approval process that public parking on site wouldn't necessarily fit or be necessary for this project, especially knowing that there are a few other public places in a vehicle that you can get to and park, one being at the end of Lazar and access the trail, and then the other being the pure boat landing, which, although it's not an alleyway, it's just right up the road. So if you're in your vehicle and you're traveling, the thought was you can travel about 20, 30 more seconds in the vehicle and have that access. So this would be pedestrian access only, and this would be the pedestrian access would be for the condo units along this strip, but then for regular residents or other residents, it would be along this service road, that this existing service road, it would then connect to that gravel, existing gravel path.
So the service road is coming, Riverside is down on the bottom of the drawing?
Yes, and if you bear with me one second, I'll pull up an aerial.
Used to go.
All right, so as you can see, this is the property that would house the condo units. There's an existing service road on this property with the cell tower, that flagpole that you see from 172. This is another service road that we use to access the stormwater pond here. And then this is the gravel path that we use for our service vehicles around the trail, and then there would need to be a connection.
Maybe. And that would be something that the village would do, and the developer is not doing, right?
That is staff's understanding, yes.
Okay, it's my understanding, too. I just want to make sure it's clear.
That's, like Trevor said, when the property was more dense and we were getting access from that and then around onto the trail, that's how they were doing it. But now the developer's still willing, even though the parcels are mm-hmm. separated, the developer's still willing to keep that offer. And it's my understanding that they're willing to pay up to $22,000 to have that part paved, right? And we'll do the connections.
Correct.
Right? So I still think that's very nice of them. I'm sure there's some engineering or some grading or something that needs to be done, but I appreciate that offer. Do we have a motion? Okay. Do you want to ask these guys?
I can ask a couple questions or
yep.
I can make a motion.
Go for it.
Okay. The garbage pickup, I'm not clear. Is it a single location for garbage pickup throughout the 15 units, or will each unit have their own area of pickup?
Right now, we had discussed that preliminarily, that each unit would bring their garbage can to the end of their driveway.
Okay.
And we need to work out those details, and those details will be worked out in that engineering agreement.
Okay. I just wasn't sure which way we were headed.
Just to be clear, that the driveway that serves these units would be private, and we had informed them that if we're going to bring our equipment into their condominium complex, we'd want that driveway built to city standards, and we're willing to do that.
The other one that I wanted to get confirmation on, spending enough time on Board of Appeals, is the rear setback. I want to make sure we're 100% sure that we're at a 30-foot setback. I see it says appears to be 30, but I want to confirm that it is a 30-foot setback.
Right, that's something that we'll receive from the engineer before we get approval, final approval. We haven't received updated plans yet.
Okay. Thank you.
The only other thing I want to share is regarding the trail, the developer is willing to take the $22,000 and per building, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, split it up per building equitably and put an amount into escrow to assure that they don't want to build it now because they're going to do the final coat hopefully in July of 19, I think is the goal, right? So they'd like not to have to do the trail until July 20 of 19, which I think is a very fair request, personally.
Do we need a motion before I can have any more discussion?
If we're discussing it, yes. If you're asking
it's
questions,
a question,
no.
Discussion, obviously. Question. Question. Are we going to get a list of the detail of what has to be done, or do we need that list before we make our motion?
I was kind of going to cover it with the motion.
Okay. Well, then.
Do we have a motion on that item?
Sure. Move to approve contingent on the positive review of the landscaping plan, successfully complete the balance of the process with staff on completing permits, following ordinances, and altering any easements.
Second. Trustee Dart, any discussion? Question. I know the developer is here tonight in hopes of gaining a permit in the very near future.
Sean was positive.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, if we could make a suggestion for an amendment to the motion to include an engineering agreement. Believe it might have been suggested in your motion, but if we just clarify it.
Make sure it's formally stated that we also, after altering easements, the completion of an engineering agreement between the village and the constructor.
For the utilities and the trail construction?
It's implied.
Okay.
But let's specify.
For the utility and the trail construction, please.
Okay.
Do we get everything? Do you want us to read it back?
You're good on the second?
I am on the second as long as we got everything in there that we need.
Would you like to repeat?
I will try. Move to approve contingent on the positive review of the landscaping plan and successfully complete the balance of the process with staff on completing permits, following ordinances, altering easements, and agreement on a engineering plan taking care of trail access and something else that I can't remember.
Utilities.
And utilities.
No, I thought ducks was hard.
Any further discussion?
I've just got a question. Would it be all plans? You specifically said landscape plans?
You would mention the landscape plan. That's why I mentioned that. But if whether it's all the permits, plans. Ordinances, easements, yes. It's following all the rules that we have to do with staff, yes.
Do we look at this again after? Because it sounds like a list of requirements that gets to be big.
Well, is that normally would those be done after the site plan is approved?
Typically, it's contingent. A lot of these are DNR permits or stormwater permits or DOT permits. So
we're approving the site plan as long as all the other permits and everything are acquired. I'm assuming that's okay with our guests. I hope that allows them to move forward on their project. Okay, we have a motion, a very good motion, and a second, and a re-motion and a re-second, and a clarification. So, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We look forward to your wonderful development in our fair village.
Thank you.
It was a little easier at the Plan Commission, wasn't it?
Thank you. Excuse me, action item number 12, ordinance 2018-08, code 318, parking and storage. Kevin. Would you like to tell us why you made these changes, or you are proposing them?
I just felt like thinking, I guess. So one of the items was tent structures. In our ordinance, we really don't have concrete on tent structures. We have things on accessory structures. I see more and more of these tents made out of fabrics with poles used for storage. Well, they don't look very nice. I think it brings down people's property values. You see a lot more out in the country than in town. So I wanted to make up an ordinance to not allow tent structures as storage units. So I put in there a definition of what a tent is. If you want to use a tent structure, you know, for parties or whatever else, you can have it up for 4 days. This won't include like canopies that people would like to use to sit outside underneath, but it's more as far as storage. Another thing that I have...
Can we just stick on that for 1 second?
Sure.
With that structure, how are we going to clarify that your nice little gazebo tent isn't included in that? Because the way it reads to me, it would be excluded.
I guess what I could do is put on, if it has 4 sides.
Sometimes, you have the screen sides that go around that are snap on for weather.
Right.
And it's just... basically, a little canopy gazebo for sitting in the backyard.
Yep. I guess if it's like mosquito netting. I guess it's
just
by
so
discretion.
Just so it doesn't run us into different problems down the road in this ordinance.
See, right now, I have problems because right now it's by my discretion. Mm-hmm. So if I don't like your structure and I call it a tent, it doesn't follow any UDC codes or structural codes, I can say, no, I don't like it. I'm just trying to clarify more what type of storage units are allowed.
I think a storage unit is a whole different thing than what I'm thinking.
Right.
But does this make it easier?
This would address something, too, like the carport kind of thing that Menards or some of the big box stores sell. They kind of got hoop and a white plastic canvas type thing.
Right.
Okay.
And that would include that?
Yeah.
Even though it's just a cover?
I'm just trying to avoid the aesthetic look.
Yep.
Right.
You know. So if there's any kind of wordage that we can put in place to, I guess, look at those types of structures, that's what I'm trying to...
I would wonder if saying what cannot be used as a storage structure, if we said what could be used as a storage structure.
We could do something like that.
Something that is as a foundation and, you know, a shed or whatever as approved by the village, and no storage and other type things. You don't like that?
Kind of. Because some of those resin storage units, they'll sit right on the ground. You know, I ask them to stake them down, so they're really not a foundation.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess these are totally different on how they're assembled. You know, they use poles. That's kind of what a tent uses, is poles. And I guess the other thing is that I'm trying to avoid these structures blowing away. You know, tent structures are more likely to blow away than some of these other resin or wooden storage units.
Okay.
Of course, what's the most common thing people are storing in these ones that you kind of think are problematic?
Whatever you can think of.
Really?
I've seen lawnmowers, I've seen garden tools, bikes.
I can see why you want to avoid those. I just, my only concern is that I know people have really nice, really busy people in the yard that can't make structures.
And I guess in our ordinances, it gives me a lot of freedom to say yes or no to things. And I guess I would take that case by case, but...
Well, the word storage is in there, so that helps.
Right.
And it also says it's a temporary for only 4 days, max of 4 days.
Right.
But yeah, for storage purposes, you could say something like... Yeah.
Because I guess we should take out the 4 days aspect and just keep it as a storage unit, or not allow it as storage, a tent structure being used as storage.
Okay. I'll accept the motion on this item.
Oh, we didn't finish.
There's one more.
Oh, thank you. More. Sorry about that. Parking area for A residential lots on the property owner's designated driveways that lead to a garage. No other parking areas would be allowed in the front yard.
Right. So I had a situation where somebody asked to have a curb cut. They had a driveway on the back of their lot that led to their garage, but they wanted another parking area in the front yard. Aesthetically, I don't think that would look very good. Mm-hmm. So I informed him that I don't think it would look right, and I don't think we'd want to see that, but we don't really have anything in our ordinance that says they can't do that. Now, that's why I try to put something in writing, trying to eliminate situations like that. I don't have a problem with parking areas, like I said, leading up to the garage, next to a garage, next to the house. I don't want to see it, say, in front of the house, where, you know, you're going to get a lot more.
I do notice that we have several places that would have them not just leading up to the garage, but like wider than the garage doors are. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not going to try to stop that, but are we clear that that's not Those don't lead into a garage.
Well, it's leading up to, I guess, to their garage or, I guess, parking area, not creating a separate parking area, you know, in a front yard. I think we're trying to eliminate all the clutter in the front yard.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, just again, the question's going to come up.
Right.
Because I'm not sure it's real.
Quick question.
Clear.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Although I see a lot of those curved driveway drop-off things, and was that a hassle when that first came up, whatever, however long ago, and what's the distinction between, it's pretty easy to get approval for having one of those, if you have the frontage, to do a curved driveway, two different things. They're asking for like a little stub of driveway leading to nothing.
Right. Yeah, if it's a circular driveway and you have two access points, you know, I don't have a problem with that. It's when you're just creating a parking area because you have six or seven cars and, you know, you're just trying to eliminate the aesthetic look.
But I'm saying if they have a big enough lot, we do allow that, a drop-off, and that's, you know, elderly and resale value. Some people would seek out a place like that.
Yep.
So that's already on the books, and it's pretty much allowed as long as they've got the room to do it.
Right.
So maybe that would be the answer to some complaint. We do allow this.
Yep.
And there's no restriction. They could park six cars on that little thing, and you have nothing to say about it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's just trying to create another separate parking area lot in the front yard.
Okay.
Whereas if it's a driveway, you know, that's one thing. But
I will make a motion on this item. I will move to approve the wording, but for intent, I'll recommend the second paragraph state, tent structures are to be used for recreational purposes only. A tent structure shall not be used for storage purposes. A tent is for temporary uses only and can be used for up to a max of 4 days. Actually, I would take the max of 4 days off.
Right, take the 4 days off.
Because it's for recreational purposes only, not for storage purposes.
Right.
And I would recommend the approval of the item regarding the driveways. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion on this matter? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Kevin. Action item number 13, ordinance 2018-07, code 163-2, registration of bicycles. We are recommending that registration of bicycles is mandatory but free. It gets rid of all the fees and all of that. And we also say they need to transfer the registration if someone takes ownership of the bike, and there is no fee for transfer registration. Why are we making this change?
It's been several years since the fee has been dropped. The fire department used to sell them. They no longer do. It's services provided.
Okay. My question then is, why should we even bother having people register their bikes?
In the event they are stolen, that's their tracking mechanism.
So, but should we make it mandatory or optional?
It's to be mandatory, but whether or not someone decides to register the bike, it's up to them. And you're not going to get a ticket for an unregistered bike.
But it's in your best interest.
It's in your best interest. There's no, and that's why there's no fee associated with it. It's in your best interest to register your bike in the event it is stolen.
Okay. I'll take a motion on this item.
I'll move to approve.
I would second.
You would second. Discussion.
It just reminds me of registering cats. And that we drop. It'd be interesting to see how many bicycles we actually get registered, though. I mean, do we know how many we get? Very few. I mean, that's what's happening with it. So I don't know. I would say let's pass it, but let's see how many we actually get, and if it's just...
Does it really do anything?
Exactly. I mean, if it's not...
Registration is a good idea. I had a bike recovered as a result of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's a good idea, but we have to look at the wording. And it says, required. It shall be unlawful for any person to operate a bicycle on any street, highway, or public way, or public property within the village, unless such bicycle is properly registered and has displayed on it a valid and current tag. I'm guessing there aren't many bikes in the village of Alloway with tags on. And so while we encourage it, and it's a good idea for recovering your bicycle, if the person doesn't want to register, the question is, should we make it mandatory? And unlawful if you don't, because we know we're passing an ordinance that's in place, actually.
And then
that may be county or
state.
It may not be our requirements.
Oh, an unfunded mandate.
I'm not sure, but I can check.
Okay. If we're saying something is required and is unlawful, shouldn't there also be wording about the consequences if it isn't? I'm not necessarily in favor of the required and unlawful. I'm just saying if that's in there, you have to have an if and a then, don't you?
Yep. Well, this is currently in place. We're just fixing the language somewhat.
Can we postpone so we can check on these things?
I would motion to postpone the item and let our clerk and staff figure out if this is a county mandate or a local ordinance. And then we can pick it up at another time.
Is that a substitute
motion? That's a substitute motion. Do I have a second on that? Trustee Harris, thank you much. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 14, compression breaks. When and at what times are they permitted? Trustee Atwood.
I did not have any updates on that.
Okay. But you're... I'm sorry, Brad?
Brad.
I did reach out to the state on May 7th. Received an email. It's been forwarded on to the appropriate person. And just waiting to hear back from them. So as soon as I have more information, I'll share it.
I'm going to ask another naive question. I don't understand compression breaks. What does this mean?
Did you remember the computer? Have you ever heard the term jig break?
Yeah.
That's it.
But what is it? I mean, exactly, is it just...
Slows the vehicle down, the semis.
Have you ever heard semis go vroom, 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 as they're on the highway standing up? They're not using the brakes. They're using whatever to slow down.
Downshifting.
Makes a lot of noise. Yeah, downshifting that kind of thing.
Oh, got it. Now good.
Okay, so it's on as an action item, so we'll postpone any discussion. I'll make a motion to postpone any discussion until we have more information. Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 15, update on Pump House. Hello, Kevin.
Hi. I'm guessing you're not going to like this one.
Hi.
I condemn the pump house. Nobody's allowed in the pump house. The roof is in such disarray that something needs to happen to it. We allowed this to go on for a year and a half. I think it's time that we have to do something, either repair the roof or think about tearing it down.
When the last deal fell through, we reached out to the previous buyer. Did that buyer express a renewed interest in the property or provide a new offer?
No new offers have come through.
Okay.
But we have reached out to them.
Okay. Well, it's a report and discussion item, so I would recommend we put this on the next village board agenda to discuss. It's just a discussion. We're not talking.
There was an offer that was never presented to the full board that you received.
Jim, I did not open the floor. Thank you. I did not open the floor.
There was a cash offer.
Did you make it?
As is.
Did you make it?
I'm aware of who made the cash offer.
Okay. Jim, we're not. Offer. Sorry. Okay.
I would like a question. What kind of condition is it? It's the roof that's the major problem for it being condemned, or do you have other reasons why you condemned it?
Well, technically, you could condemn a building if it doesn't have hot water or water at all to a building. So
okay.
That could be one, but the main reason I don't want anybody going in that building is because of the deterioration of the roof. Since that last snowfall, it probably dropped another foot and a half, 2 feet. So it's the roof trusses are at that window height now, at the top of that window. So it wouldn't really take much for that to collapse.
Okay, thank you.
Would we have grounds for an insurance claim on that? No?
I'm guessing because of the deterioration of the roof prior to any of those issues, it probably would hold up.
Okay. Well, please put that on our next village board agenda. Going on to number 16, future agenda items. Anything else we'd like to speak about next or at a future meeting? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 17. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Seconded by Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight.